glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's February 11th, 2014. We'll continue with part two of my recorded conversation with James Mark Maxey and his wife, Pam. They came to the home studio on Saturday and shared their faith journey, love story, and ministry of music with me. We left off yesterday with Mark beginning to tell about his testimony. You'll also hear the story behind the Damascus Road Experience, a featured cut on his CD, Damascus Road Experience. So here's James Mark Maxey on this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Well, my journey started, like I said, at the age of 10, I wanted a guitar. I actually wanted to be a drummer at first, and I got my first snare drum, a Singerland snare drum in 1968. And 2 years later, I was like, no, drums aren't for me. I want to be a guitar player. And my dad bought me a guitar for my birthday present that year in 1970, and I started playing that guitar. I took one lesson from an older gentleman who just had me do some simple finger exercise, and I said, that's not for me. And my dad said, well, yeah, I bought this guitar for you. You better play it. And I said, I'm going to teach myself. And he said, okay, we'll see about that. And I did. I taught myself how to play guitar. And when I graduated at the age of 17, I hooked up with a couple of brothers there in Tuscola, the Cooper brothers. Darren Cooper's a good friend of mine that's still an independent music artist. And I played with them, and we did the bar circuits around the area. Left the band. And went to work, got married, settled down, started working, put my guitar away, never thought about getting it out again. And then I was approached by a worship minister that the Christian church had just hired in Tuscola, and he was asking me if I would be interested in helping him. He had a vision to have a contemporary Christian music brought up in the church and wondered if I'd be interested because he had heard that I'd kind of dabbled with it before. And what I did, to back up a little bit farther than that, 5 years prior to that, I came out of my shell, so to speak, as I was working down at Donnelly's. I'd put my guitar away. I was working down at Donnelly's, and I was pretty much a backslidden Christian at that time. At the age of 13, I gave my life to the Lord, and I walked away from that calling, that faith, like the true prodigal son. And I had a buddy of mine down at work who had came to me and asked me if I was born again one day in the break room. And I said, well, sure, I'm born again. I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. He says, well, you know, you being born again and all, he goes, well, I sit here and listen to you tell your jokes and interact with these people in the break room, man. He goes, I got to tell you, I had no idea that you were born again. And the conviction set on me so hard that I went back into the roll storage area, which is where I worked. It's a big warehouse with nothing but stacks of rolls. Me and the Lord all by myself. And I started crying. And the Lord touched my heart that day. And about 2 or 3 weeks later, the same individual came by and drugged me to his church on a Sunday night. And I just got done going to my church, the Christian church, that morning. And the preacher preached out of Revelation 3 about being a lukewarm Christian. And I heard the message and thought nothing about it. But I went home and watched an NFL football game, like a lot of people do after a Sunday service. And as I was sitting there, I couldn't even hardly pay attention to the football game. I just felt this conviction, but I really didn't know what it was. I didn't know the word conviction at that time in my walk with the Lord at all. But that's what it was. And lo and behold, about 6:30 that night after the football games were all over, I had a bang, bang, bang on my door. And it was this guy from work. And he was attending a little church there in Tuscola, charismatic, full Gospel Assemblies of God church. And he wanted me to come along with him because he just felt like he needed to stop by that night and ask me to go to church with him. I was still dressed for church, so I thought, you know, I'll go with him. Lo and behold, that minister at that church that night preached out of Revelation 3. The lukewarm Christian message. That was the second in 2 times of going to church that I heard that message. And after that preacher got done preaching that message, he asked if somebody would like to come up front and just have people lay their hands on him. And now, you know, he just felt like there was somebody that might be backslidden a little bit that need to get right with the Lord and get their walk straightened out and to have a new fresh start with Jesus as their Savior. And it was me. And the last thing I ever thought I'd do is get up in front of people and walk up an aisle and do anything like that. It was like an angel picked me up by the nape of my neck and pulled me up out of the pew and thrusted me up to the front of this place. Next thing I know, I'm up there. They just gathered around me and prayed for me, and I was just appreciative. And, you know, I walked out of that place a changed man. And from that point on, within about less than 6 months, those people found out that I was a guitar player. And they asked me to play in their praise band with them. And so that's where I actually started playing praise and worship music, is in that little bitty church. And that's where I got experience that there was even such a thing as playing other music other than just, you know, the old traditional piano music in church. And so I played with them for a while, and then the minister from the First Christian Church called me up and asked me if I would like to come back to church and start up that contemporary Christian music service with them. And I did. And 2 decades later, I'm still doing the same thing.
So, Pam, when did you enter into the picture, and did you see Mark playing? Was that something that you thought, oh, I kind of like his voice?
No, really, no, I had never heard him play. Even when he was in his rock and roll days, I did not hear him play. I have to go back even further than he did just for a second, that I actually had a crush on him in the seventh grade.
Hmm.
He wouldn't give me the time of day. So
shame on you, Mark.
So as time goes by, and I was in a marriage, and it didn't work out, 15 years after I had been divorced, I happened to see Mark at a going-away party, and we talked, and nothing really came from that. We just kind of talked with each other, and I was really surprised that he even talked to me, because, you know, the seventh grade was still in the back of my mind. So about 4 months later, he called me, and we started talking, and actually, we just started kind of talking with each other, and our faith was brought up. I was kind of a new Christian at that time. I was a new believer. I wasn't very strong in my faith, just doing the baby steps. And I have to say that, you know, once we came together and we both started sharing scripture and our faith and him with his music, I just grow stronger and stronger every day. And I'm so thankful that he has come into my life, because, you know, I was trying. I was struggling, you know, trying to take my baby steps. But he's nurtured me and helped me grow in so many ways. And his music has been a huge part of that.
Now, Mark, was it love at first sight? It obviously wasn't love at first sight in the seventh grade and then later on when you started talking. But I know over the phone when we talked the other day, you said how in common your faiths were, the trajectory, the direction that you both wanted to go and grow.
Correct.
And follow the Lord and serve him. And so I know that there was some fondness that you noticed right away in Pam. But what was the sign that you knew God was leading you to ask her to marry you?
Well, when me and Pam got to talking, there was some similarities right off the bat. First off, she was divorced, had a son. I was divorced, I had a son. We both had returned to our walk with the Lord. We both had decided that if there was ever going to be another relationship in our life, Jesus was going to have to be the center of it. Mm-hmm. And when we first started talking, when she told me that she was a believer, that Jesus was her Lord and Savior, there was no questioning whether she was sincere. Mm-hmm. I could see it. I could feel it. And it was just like the Lord was bringing us together at that time. Although several months later, before I ever asked her to marry me, you know, at that time, though, I could just feel that this is a person of the opposite sex that I can actually talk to. And what a you know, a commonality thing to have right there. You know, Jesus Christ is the center of everything that you want to talk about, everything that you want to accomplish in life. He's going to be the center of it. That was just great. And, you know, through him, through Christ, we could see the beauty in each other, the nurturing beauty that she has, just being my, like I said, my soulmate, my friend, my cheerleader. Pam has always been there to lift me up when I've been down. The Lord has used her in that capacity. I'm sure he's used me in a capacity, like she said, in helping her learn that, hey, you know what? You shouldn't just go by what the preacher says. You ought to look it up for yourself and make sure that that's what it says. Ever since then, Pam now, to this day, reads Scripture every day. Mm-hmm. She has a quiet time and she reads Scripture, because that's something I've been doing since 1991. I put at least one Scripture inside of my soul every single day. single day. And I would encourage the listener out there that's hearing my voice right now to do the same thing, because you'll be amazed at what God will do with just that scripture. You get yourself filled up with it, and the next thing you know, every conversation you have, regardless of what it is, the word's going to come forth. And it's a beautiful thing, you know. Yeah, we're pretty much in love.
Yeah, I'm posting the photos of you two here in the studio along with other postings, and we'll continue because of the 2 days worth of broadcasts. We'll have some great Facebook posts. But I know it's because of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ that you've been united together and you want to follow him, but you've also both had Damascus Road experiences, and you wrote about that. In fact, it's a feature cut on your song, and it's the title of your CD.
Yes.
James Mark Max. Damascus Road Experience. Tell us a little about this song, and I'm going to play it for our listeners. And then I want you to also play a live song, All I Want. It's one of your favorites, and we'll keep you around in the studio so we continue with that too.
Well, you know, go back to that little church that I went to on that one Sunday night. And whenever I convey that story to other people, I've always said, you know, I had my Damascus Road experience. It was always something that it's just some cliche thing that I've always just kind of grabbed a hold of and spoke. And it comes from, you know, Paul's Damascus Road experience that he had in Acts, where the Spirit of the Lord, you know, confronted him as Saul. And from that point on, you know, once his transformation took place, his, you know, he accepted and acknowledged who Christ was, he became Paul after that. And I always thought, you know, everybody kind of has, they don't necessarily have a Damascus Road experience where the bright light knocks them down on their knees and they, and you know, the lightning bolts go off and everything like that. But they do have a coming to Jesus moment. Every believer has a coming to Jesus moment. And when I wrote this song, I was wanting to convey that I have had my coming to Jesus moment. I had my original coming to Jesus moment at the age of 13 when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. But then I walked away from that. And then the Lord waited for me. And he waited for me, which I have another song now called Waiting for Me, which is a lot about that. And he waited for me. And lo and behold, I returned to him. It was a Damascus Road experience for me, because I tell you what, it was a transformation, and it was an immediate one. It, you know, some people, you know, go through easy ones, and some people go through hard ones, and sometimes it takes people several different processes to get, you know, where the Lord wants to take them. Now, granted, the Lord's continually working in my life, but that immediate time where I returned to him, it was just like the Lord picked me up like a rug and shook me out, you know? And I knew right then and there that there was something that the Lord was going to use me for. And I didn't know what it was, but he was going to use me, and lo and behold, it was my music.
How can people, as we're playing the song, how can people get in touch with you, either purchase the CD or call you up because maybe they want you to come and present at their church or share for their civic organization or a part of an upcoming music event or jamboree or whatever?
People can get a hold of me. I do have a Facebook page. James Mark Maxey is my musician's page. The music is offered through iTunes. The album itself can be purchased through Amazon.com. You can actually, if you like my page, James Mark Maxey on Facebook, you could actually message me there and give me your address, and I can make sure that you get a CD, because I have a whole bunch of them down in my basement, my studio. So,
yes. So
I carry around quite a few with me. So whenever I do shows and different opportunities to play at different churches and different venues, I can make sure that I have those CDs available. Yeah, you could also go to TateMusic.com and purchase it directly from the label itself,
TateMusic.com, or you can call them directly, 217-246-5009, 217-246-5009. In case you're just tuning in, we have James Mark Maxey in the studio with me. James Mark, he goes by Mark, but there's a unique reason he keeps the James name there.
Yeah, Mark, about my name, James Mark Maxey, why I put the James in there, for two reasons. I always joke around and say, well, I've got a full gospel name, James Mark, you know, and I've always loved that. But James has always been the first name of the firstborn for several generations in the Maxey family. I'm a James Mark. My son's a James Wilburn. My dad is a James Morris. My grandfather's a James Burdett, and so on. And so, in honor of my father and the Maxie name, I thought, you know, I want to use that as my artist name. I want to go with the full name, James Mark Maxie. And that's where that comes from. But you know the album cover there that you're looking at, Mark?
So tell me about this album
cover. Yeah, that album cover's kind of got a neat little story to it. The photographer that took that's from New York City, but he does a lot of photography for the label. And he said, hey, you know, what kind of photo were you thinking about? What kind of art were you looking at? I said, well, you know, I want to look kind of old. And I said, you know, I kind of really would like to just have a picture taken of me on this old abandoned road, if you could find one, because I got one in mind.
Hmm.
And so he took me out to the middle of an abandoned cattle ranch out in the middle of Oklahoma. And where that picture was taken at that particular time was less than 5 miles away from Moore, Oklahoma, that was wiped off the face of the map by that devastating tornado last summer.
Hmm.
That picture was taken before that tornado had hit. So where I'm standing right there is in a road in the middle of an abandoned cattle ranch, less than 5 miles away from Moore, Oklahoma. And you can see by how flat it is,
yeah,
how it could stir up a storm pretty easily with that landscape. But, yeah.
Here's Damascus Road Experience by James Mark Maxie.
Hey, check out those pearly gates, 'cause I'm a living my Damascus Road Experience. One more time. And now he walks with me, and he talks with me. I can feel him, yeah. He's holding my hand.
Now, I know we promised our listeners on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends we'd have you do a live song here in the studio. And I know this one's not on the CD, but it's going to be on a future CD, I believe, correct?
Yes, this song is called All I Want. I actually wrote this song last Easter, and as I was telling you earlier, I said, you know, that I'd written this song the night before Easter and had actually forgotten how the melody went. And I usually keep a little tape recorder and record the melody so that when I go back and revisit the song and get ready to actually arrange it and put it down on paper, that I can have the full song and not forget it. And I didn't do that, and I totally forgot the song. And Pam, once again, you know, I'll just chill out. You know, it's going to be okay. The Lord will recall it to you tomorrow morning. Everything will be fine. And I was like, well, you know, I was kind of wanting to play it for Easter service tomorrow, you know. But then I decided I'd just kind of hold off and wait to play it for a special occasion. But I woke up Easter morning, and lo and behold, the song was there. The Lord recalled it all to me from front to finish, and it's called All I Want.
And give us a little of the background. What was impressed on your heart? Why these certain lyrics, and what do you hope that the listener, as they hear it, will maybe feel in their heart of hearts?
I was thinking about the whole experience of creating this album, where the Lord was going to take me with it. I was kind of getting myself to the point where I was expecting certain things to happen, and they weren't happening, and I was kind of taking my eye off the ball, if you will. Matt Redman wrote a song years ago called The Heart of Worship, and it was because he had taken his eye off the ball, and he knew the whole reason why we do what we do is because we're worshiping God the Father. And I had come to that point in my career and in my walk with the Lord and in my music ministry, and I thought, you know, I need to write a song that lays out exactly what it is that I want. And I did, and it's called All I Want. I keep my eyes on you, like you told me to. I want to walk in your ways all the rest of my days. days. And please, Lord, hold me close. And please don't let me go. I wanna be found in your arms, where I can't be harmed, and all I want is you. Lord, give me your words to speak, so that others may seek your spirit who dwells in me, leading them to thee. So
from the studios of Great News Radio. You're listening to Mark and Friends. In the studio with me is James Mark Maxie with his lovely wife Pam, and I've gotten to know these two throughout this broadcast over a phone conversation, and appreciate that we've had 2 days of broadcasts. And you said something interesting earlier, Mark, about the difference between a musician and an artist. Tell me a little about that. I'll jump in here. We're out of time. You'll hear that answer tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.